You know, there's a scripture over in 2 Kings that I'm going to sort of take off from tonight. And I'm going to call it, "Don't Sit There Until You Die." We need to realize that during this pandemic season that we're going through, that it won't be here forever. It won't stay. So a lot of people are just sitting around waiting till it's all over, not doing anything, not getting ready to move ahead. If you remember, we were one of the first churches that opened up on the Sunday that you could open up. A lot of others did it's two or three Sundays. You know why? Because Denise and Lynette and Craig, and I had a little input into it, not a whole lot, but a little bit. I let them do it. I got other things to do. They had started planning, actually I came in here with them on one day, how we could go about going together, because we figured it would be a social distancing thing anyway. And we had this thing laid out and ready to go before they ever said we could start having service again. Some people had to, they weren't ready, so now they got to wait. They got to get everything in line. You know, some people are just sitting around waiting for something to happen. I want to ask you a question. Have we learned anything during this time? Have you maybe read a book or read something that will make you more useful at your job? You know, have you tried developing some new skills? Have you taken care of some of those projects that you started and they're unfinished for a while? You know, there is so much you could do during this time rather than just sitting around. But some people just sitting around. Now let's read that scripture in 2 Kings 7, 3 through 4. Is it just me or am I loud? I guess it's just me. Okay. 2 Kings 7, 3 through 4. Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we'll enter the city, the famine's in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we shall die also. Now, therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we'll only die." Well, the situation was that the king of Syria and the army had surrounded the city of Samaria, and that's the way that those armies used to win the battle against the city. They would just set a siege around it. Nothing got in and nothing got out, and pretty soon all their food supply and their if they didn't have a well inside, their water supply would start running low. That's exactly what was happening. There was hardly any food available in there. And so these four lepers, of course, they're outside because of the law. And you can go read about it in Exodus if you want to read it. Because of the law that they lived under. Anybody with any kind of disease like that, that says unclean, they couldn't be with the general population. They couldn't mix with society. Almost like we are now. We can't mix. Social distancing, I guess. See, they had social distancing back then. But the good people didn't have to social distance. It's only those that had a problem. And if you ever noticed, the states that did that, they didn't have all the problems. We're one of them. Florida was another. Georgia was another. Texas was another one. But, you know. And I thought it was sort of silly when they did it. Take the people that are at risk or the sick people and set them and keep them aside. Let the rest of us go on about our life. That's what God set up the law when he set up the law. And I think it would work under the new covenant also. Amen. Okay, my speech. Okay. Now, There they are. And they're waiting for the siege to be over so maybe they could get some food. And finally, they ask their questions. Question, why are we sitting here until we die? That's what some people need to ask themselves. Why they're sitting around doing nothing and dying on the vine spiritually. Some people are doing the same thing in the natural. They're not doing anything to better themselves, anything to help themselves. And they wonder, well, I wonder why God's not helping me. Well, you know, it's not in the Bible, but God helps those who help themselves. Some people thought that's in the Bible. It's not. The principle of that is in the Bible, though. Come on now. Where God says, if you do this, then I will do this. That's, you got to, you know, you got to help yourself so God can help you. All right, let's go on. Now, here they are. Let's pick it up in verse 5 now. And they rose up at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they'd come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses and the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel is hired against us, the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. And therefore, they rose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, their donkeys. They fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went to one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing, went and hid them. And then they came back and entered another tent and carried some gold or something from there also. And they went and hid it. Now, at this particular time, Samaria was the capital of the northern kingdom. And so now here, four men that were sick, that were dying of starvation, take off stumbling down the road toward the camp of the enemy. And all of a sudden, they make the noise of a great army. Hello, come on. Then they begin, the king, they begin to talk and they said, look, the king of Israel, he's somehow got a message to them. And they've hired all these others to come against us and they took off running. And it wasn't but four men that decided to get up and do something instead of die. Come on now. You know, they got so much stuff that they hid it. But now remember, they're the only four that know this. But then if you go on reading, you find out they said, oh, we're doing wrong if we don't share. So they went and told the people in the city and everything happened. If you read the whole story, at the beginning of this, Elijah said that you know, the stuff is going to be selling at a cheap price. And the guy that was the right-hand man of the king there in the Samaria said, even the Lord himself did it. It couldn't be done or something like that. And so Elijah just said to him, you'll see it, but you won't partake of it. And if you read the story, he got stampeded and trampled on at the gate because he's trying to keep the people from getting out because he was still scared. I think some people are that way now. They're too scared to get out. Now, the people that need to stay in. But, okay, go on. You know, do you know there's always people sitting around talking about what they want to do, how they want to do something? And you know what? Their opportunity comes by and they're not ready because they haven't been doing anything to get ready for an opportunity. See, if you're not ready, when an opportunity comes by, you can't take advantage of it. People who are successful are always preparing ahead of time. You know, if you sit around and listen to people for a while, you find out there's a lot of people talk about all the opportunities they've missed. And if they'd only done this, they would have made a great investment. You know, you have to get ready. Quit sitting around. Now, here's a question for you to consider tonight. Are you waiting on God or is he waiting on you? It's God that's waiting on you because he's already done everything that he needs to do for us to be successful. He's wanting us to believe his word and act on it. Are we going to believe the word of God and act on it? Or are we going to sit around and wait for something to happen until we die? Now, I want to take off from that and talk to you tonight about the fact that we go through seasons. And there's something in every season for us. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven." The New English Translation says it like this: "For everything there's an appointed time and an appropriate time for every activity on earth." Here it says, "An appropriate time for every activity on earth." Now, going back to a farmer, the best season is the harvest season. That's an exciting time because at harvest season is when payday comes. When you take the grain to the grain silos and all of that. I know my grandpa down there, I was just 5 years old, six, but he had that cotton farm. And you know, man, they'd pick that cotton. They didn't have the cotton, these modern machines like you got now. You went through there picking it by hand. And then you'd weigh it. You come in and your sack get full and you'd weigh it. And when it got to be, I think it was 1,000 pounds in that trailer, he took it to the gin. Because that's when he's going to get paid money, because they're going to take that cotton and they're going to make a bale out of it. And then they're going to sell that cotton to the factories and they're going to make clothes, make yarn, make thread, make cloth. Come on now. See? But you see, before payday comes, there's a whole lot of other things that have to happen. First of all, they got to prepare the land. Go out there and till up the ground. Grandpa used to go out there, you know, ahead of time. Like he said, "Oh, well, I better go get that ground turned over." He called it turning it over. And let it air out a little bit, and then because the planting season's coming. Then they'd turn it over, and then they go through with this thing. It's got claws on it, and I think they call it a harrow, I think what they call it. And then it'd smooth it all out. That's about all I know about it. I was only 6 years old, y'all. And I picked a little bit of cotton, but I decided I didn't like it, and I said, "I ain't doing this no more." Only time I ever got in trouble with my grandpa was he said, "Now," and the front of the wagon had a deal up on it, and you climb on it, and you could jump down in that cotton. It was soft, and I was five, six years. I'd climb up and jump down. He said, "Son, don't do that no more, because," he said, "it's getting full, and you're going to kick the cotton out the back, and now I won't know exactly how much I got." So I said, "Okay, Grandpa," and so, or Pawpaw is what I call him. So I jumped one more time, and I kicked a bunch of cotton out, and he really got on me. And I'm down on my hands and knees picking that cotton up and shaking it and putting it in the sack. And My grandma came up and said, "What do you got him down there?" And I said, "Well, he kicked it out. He's going to put it back up there." So that's the only time I ever got in trouble with him. But then, you know what? The equipment had to be ready. The trailers had to be ready. Had to make sure all of the tires was up. Make sure that the wheel bearings were, and there's grease there. The truck had to be ready to pull the trailer. And all of the things, but all of those things happened before payday. There was something going on. And what my point is, I want you to realize that wherever you are in life and whatever you're doing, you got to keep doing things here in order to get to that day. That's why some people are sitting there, "Well, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God." Yeah, you'll still be sitting there waiting until you get in the Word and take the Word and start practicing and acting on the Word. Come on. You know, somebody said this. I don't know who said it. You can do the right thing, but if you do it at the wrong time, it will often lead to disaster. See, you look at the calendar year and there's seasons. And this is true in a lot of areas. In our lives, we go through seasons. And one season is intended, it's intended for you to get ready for the next season. Some people don't make it to the harvest season because they never did what needed to be done in the previous season. You know, how many of you went to college? How many of you started to sign up for a course and they said, "No, you can't sign up for that because you haven't taken this"? It was, you had to have prerequisite in order to get this course, right? There's a lot of times we can't go forward because we haven't done what was necessary in this season. You know, 1962, I'm a senior in Bible college, and I get a letter from Uncle Sam, says, "I want you." You young people don't know about this, but we used to have to sign up for the draft. How many guys signed up for the draft? You got a card, and they put, you got a number. If they drew your number, they sent you a letter. Well, I got one. And so, you know, I said, "Well, man, this is my senior year in college. And I'm at Bible college. I'm preparing for the ministry." And so I said, "Well, I'm going to go down there and talk to him, talk to a recruiter." I said, "I'm going to see what I can do." And I took a battery. He said, "You're about to graduate from college. There's no use you going in infantry. I think I can find a better position for you." So he said, "I want you to take some tests." So I took these tests, and as it wound up, I got in the Army Security Agency. And I didn't understand all that, but that's where I was in life. I said, "Okay, I'm going to make the best of it, learn everything I can." And there a lot of things that I learned during that 3 years in the Army have helped me to get to where I am today. What I'm saying to you, as you go through your seasons, remember, learn everything you can in that season. Oh, I got to hurry because I'm running out of time. And I'm only on page 6 and I got 10 more to go. You know, I don't know who said this either, but somebody said, "Training comes before raining, planning comes before harvesting, fighting for something comes before celebrating the victory." We got to realize that our activity in one season puts us in a position to win in the next season. William Arthur Ward, an American author, he gave this following recipe for success. "Study while others are sleeping. Work while others are loafing. Prepare while others are playing. Dream while others are wishing." Any of you ever read this little book, Signpost on the Road to Success by E.W. Kenyon? If you hadn't read this, you need to get this and read it. In fact, all of you young people in here need to get this book, and you need to read it about every 3 months. About four times a year, you need to read this book. It's got, but the first little chapter in it is called Keep At It. And him, E.W. Kenyon is the author. He and one of his friends were at a curio shop. And the friend asked, sitting there was a whole army of little figures that had been whittled out by hand. And his friend stood there looking at them, and he said, "How did you ever do it?" The man smiled and said, "I just kept at it." You know, Kenyon goes on and says, "I walked down the street and I heard these words, keep at it, keep at it." And he made it success because he kept at it. Then I want to read this one more little part down here. I heard a girl playing the piano. She was not over 16. I know something about music. We had a music department at our institution for many years. I looked into her face and I whispered in my own heart, "Girl, you spent hours pounding the keys while other girls were walking the streets and enjoying friends. While others were sleeping and mothers trying to get them out of bed, you were pounding those keys. You lost a heap of good times, but what a musician you are." She kept at it. That's why she won. This book's got a, and then it's got a bunch about words and facing life as it is, and just a word of warning. It is, how many of you that have read this book would recommend these young people in here read this book? It's great book. Don't take that long. You can read it in just 15, 20 minutes. You can read it, the whole thing. Now, here's what I want you to remember. If you're going to be successful, spiritually or naturally, you have to prepare yourself. You have to keep at it. Now, there's things you do to prepare. You pray. You read the Bible. You read books about your profession. You learn skills. Develop new skills. You learn how to handle pressure. You learn how to persevere when it's not fun. You learn how to help others as you sow seed. You see, your current situation is a getting ready time, if you'll pardon me for using that term. Joshua 1, 10 and 11 says, "Then Joshua commanded the officers of Israel, 'Go through the camp, tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days, you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land your God is giving you.'" Here, they were going to go into the promised land. Joshua told them, said, "Get ready." What do they got to do? They got to get all their preparation, their food and everything ready. They got to get their weapons ready if they have to fight. The big moment was right in front of them, but they had to get ready. If they were going to take advantage and cross into the promised land, they had to do what was necessary. Many opportunities in life, on the spiritual side and the natural side, are lost because people are not prepared. Well, why? Well, maybe they didn't gain the knowledge that they needed to gain. Maybe if it's an investment, they haven't saved their money, so they don't have any money to invest. You know, I've been church all my life, but when God called me to preach, I had enough sense to know and start gaining knowledge about ministry, watching my father, watching other ministers. I started gaining knowledge back when I was, you know, a teenager. I would try to write sermons back when I was, 14 or 15 years old. I would write sermons and I'd preach those sermons, out just walking around. Because you have to develop your speaking skills. They just don't happen. I learned that much in school because when I started school, I got in plays and everything. I already knew that. I was in speech, and I realized if you're going to be a good speaker, you got to develop your skills. It's not something that you did that just happens. You develop it. Oh, I thought if you're a preacher, you'd get up and preach. Yeah. And it ain't going to be very good either. You got to know something. Many times as I'm speaking and ministering, I will hear in my head something that I heard a professor in classroom when I was in Bible college 50 years ago say. Or all of a sudden, a thought will come to me that I read in a book somewhere. Because, see, you have to prepare yourself. If you're in a job, whatever job you're in, keep preparing yourself. Study that job. Know everything there is to know about it. And when you come up against a situation, it'll come back to you. God can't bring it to your remembrance if you didn't put it up there. If you're going to take advantage of the opportunity, you have to be ready. A person told me one time, I'm believing God for a car. No, he's going to give me a car. I said, you ain't believing God for no car. Yes, I am. No, you're not. I said, if you was, you'd clean your garage out because right now it's a storage room. You couldn't get a car in there if you had one. Come on. I said, then have you got stuff to keep it clean with? And all, no, I'll get that later. No, I said, if you really believe you're going to get it, you'll prepare ahead of time. Come on now. See, we've got to realize that the promises of God are there for us. Christ made them a fulfillment for us. Yet many people are doing without the promises of God, because they made no effort to develop and exercise their faith. You cannot receive what God said belongs to you if you haven't made an effort to develop and exercise your faith. Now I want just right here real quick, I want to tell you five things that can help you to not sit there and die. Grab a hold of God's promises that reveal what is possible for you. Romans 4, 20 and 21. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promises. In fact, his faith grew stronger in this. He brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God was able to do whatever he promised. He refused to look at the circumstances. He refused to believe what was being said. Instead, he believed what God's promises said. My dad always said, he used to say it a lot of times, that people are letting the devil use their mind for a playground because he can't get inside. So he comes to your mind with all kinds of junk. Don't let him go in. Keep him out. Secondly, focus on being successful in the season you're at, or where you are, might be another better way to say it. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it requires in stewards that one be found faithful. Now, that's New King James. NLT says, now a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. Continue to be faithful where you are. And I'm going to tell you what, if you won't get promoted, then you're faithful where you are, where God's got you, what you're doing. And even in the natural, if you won't get promoted, be faithful where you are. Don't be the first person to punch the clock out. Be the last person to punch out. Go the extra mile. You're not ready for a new season If you can't get through the day without murmuring and complaining, you haven't learned what you need to learn. Dave Dewell says this, God will not promote you until you're overqualified for your present. Being faithful, learning, developing, preparing, being trustworthy where you are is what gets you ready for the next season. Number three, listen to the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Psalms 32:8, I'm going to read it in the New King James, NLT, and NIV because it gives it just a little bit different slant. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. That's the New King James. NLT says, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. The NIV says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. The Holy Spirit knows where he needs to take us. He knows how to help us in the opportunities in the natural and the spiritual. There are too many people that relegate everything the Holy Spirit to the spiritual, but the Holy Spirit is there to help you in natural life too. He'll tell you sometimes not to do something if you listen to him. Okay, I better go on. I could say some more, but I won't because I only got 4 minutes. Number four, learn to recognize when your opportunity comes. Jesus sat weeping over the city of Jerusalem, Luke 19:44. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place, because you did not recognize it when God visited you. In the day of Noah tried to warn them. They didn't recognize it. Then they were beating on the door, let us in, but Noah couldn't let them if he wanted to because God shut the door. People in Sodom and Gomorrah had an opportunity to repent, but they didn't. See, don't be closed-minded to the possibilities that God will bring your way. And don't be so open-minded that the devil can bring something your way. The devil will bring opportunities, and God will bring opportunities, and you got to learn how to discern those. Remember, I preached a message just the other day about discerning the truth? Go listen to it. You have to have an open heart, but you got to be ready with your faith. Paul told the Thessalonians, he said, I'm going to paraphrase it my way. He said, I'm proud of you because your faith grows exceedingly. See, we need to continue to grow in faith. Just because everything's going good, No, keep pushing. Come on, how many understand what I'm talking about? Number five, and this is one that people don't like. Persevere in the current season until the harvest season comes. Galatians 6:9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if you don't give up. Now I want to read this out of the Passion Translation. And don't allow yourself to be weary or disheartened in planting good seed. For the season of reaping the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. You can't have a harvest if you hadn't planted any seed. And I'm probably going to say something that people don't like. But if you're believing God for finances, if you hadn't given anything, then there's nothing to grow to be harvested. And it doesn't say how much. It just says give. Okay? Too many people in their life. They quit before the harvest comes. This is too hard. I'm going to change something here. Don't give up in the hard times. Harvest time is worth whatever you have to go through to get there. We need to realize God's plans for us in the natural and the spiritual is more than we ever thought of. Remember, God brought Abraham, he made him one of the richest men in the East, but that's in the natural. But Abraham was doing some things on the spiritual side too. If you'll read it, you'll find that out. Have you ever heard it around here in Oklahoma? If you've been in Oklahoma very long, somebody said, I don't like the weather. And somebody said, oh, just wait a little bit, it'll change. Anybody ever heard that? Well, just wait a little while when you're in the hard place. It'll change. Whatever you see, whatever you're going through is temporary. But what God tells you and his promises are eternal, forever. Ecclesiastes 11:4 in the not the New Living Bible, but the Old Living Bible before they revised it, says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. You know, now is the time to persevere and believe God and keep on going. Follow the Holy Spirit and let him lead you into the realities of what the promises of God have for you. Just don't sit there till you die. Heavenly Father, I talked to these people for a few minutes tonight about moving on, persevering, going through every situation in the natural and in the spiritual in their lives. I thank you tonight that we'll grab hold of this and move on with you. Believe your word and act on your word and see the promises of God come into fruition in our natural life, in our spiritual life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, anybody get anything out of this tonight? Everybody stand, please. Praise the Lord. You know, Pastor, I never like to have a service that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus or somebody to rededicate their life to God. If that's you out there watching, if that's you in this room, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You're going to follow me, repeat after me. If you've never accepted Christ, are you here in this room or out there watching, or you need to rededicate your life, you know that what it is to accept Christ, but you know you're not where you're supposed to be. Pray this prayer with me right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. I thank you that he came to this earth. He lived and he died for my salvation. He arose from the grave so that I could have all the benefits of the Word of God. You said if I would believe those things in my heart and confess them with my mouth, I will be saved. I believe them in my heart. You heard me confess them with my mouth. And I thank you now. I am a new person in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen and amen.